RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, transcribed, written by Jack Douglas and Marvin Fisher, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, the orchestra under the direction of Skip Martin, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Years ago, it used to be pretty difficult for some folks to carry a tune. But nowadays, it's easier than ever to carry a tune. Yes, thanks to RCA Victor, everybody can carry a tune and enjoy good music wherever they go when they take along the pick of the portables, the Super Personal. It's as small as an average-sized book and as light as a lady's handbag. But don't let its dainty looks fool you. The Super Personal radio is a powerful baby with big room-sized volume. And it also has important exclusive RCA Victor features. There's the battery lifesaver switch that can increase battery life up to 30%. Another feature is the fact that the Super Personal can play up to 10 times longer without battery change than previous personal models. But find this out for yourself. Tomorrow, see and hear the RCA Victor Super Personal Portable. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, the world premiere of the Wayne Fellows motion picture, The High and the Mighty, directed by William Wellman, was one of the major events in Hollywood this week. Of course, you know that one of the important roles in this picture was played by Phil Harris. But what the public doesn't know is that in order to get that coveted role, Phil went through a great deal of trouble. And not just ordinary trouble. He wound up in the Superior Court of the city of Los Angeles.
Order in the court. Mr. Harris, you are charged with inflicting bodily harm on your theatrical agent. Is this not true?
I object.
Elliot.
Curly, I'm acting as your attorney.
But why do you keep saying I object?
The only other legal phrase I know is point of order, and it's been overdone lately. Your Honor, I ask you to look into the face of Mr. Harris. Does he look like the kind of a man who would do bodily harm to another man if he was his normal self? I say to you, Your Honor, he couldn't do it even if he wasn't his normal self. I mean, if he was, well, intoxicated. But I ask you, Your Honor, does he look like the kind of a man who could become intoxicated?
Well, no. As a judge of the circuit court, I would say no.
This guy ain't been around the whole circuit, though.
Look, Your Honor. Your Honor, I'll admit that I did inflict bodily harm on my agent, but I claim that I was justified. Look, it all began quite a while ago when I decided to quit the music business and become a moving picture actor. I was at home telling my wife, Alice, about my decision.
Phil, I can understand you're wanting to be a movie actor. But why do you want to be in this one particular picture, The High and the Mighty?
Well, Alice, I heard that the book is a bestseller, and somebody told me that there's a part in there that would be just great for me.
Oh, honey, you're always taking somebody's word for everything. You ought to read some of these books before you get excited about there being a part in them for you.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when they were making Quo Vadis, you went rushing out to the studio and demanded to play the part of Quo.
Well, how did I know that Quo was a girl? But I didn't want that part anyway. The part that I really went after was the leading man in Bleachhead.
The name of the picture was Beachhead.
I found that out, and I'm stuck with two cases of peroxide. Well, I ain't really stuck with them, but it makes the foamiest martini I've ever tasted.
Honey, the point I'm trying to make with you is this. It's the only sensible way to do it.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Elliot.
Hey, Curly, that was pretty thoughtful of you, putting that birdhouse out there on that post.
Yeah, I built that little beauty myself. Pretty good carpenter work, eh, Elliot?
Oh, yeah. But it's a little different from any other birdhouse I ever seen. Hasn't got any door in it. How come?
It's for woodpeckers. Let them peck their own. No sense in spoiling them. Look, in this life, Elliot, if you want something, you got to go after it. And that's just the way I'm going to be with my picture career.
How you mean?
Any man that ever wanted anything worthwhile got it by himself. Look at Chrysler. He wanted a big building, so he built the Chrysler building. And General Sarnoff, the chairman of RCA. He wanted to do something big, so he built Radio City. And how about the Bank of America?
I don't know. Have you made any changes lately, Alice?
Pretty funny, huh, Curly?
No, it was not funny.
Well, fill my Jack Webb police whistle with peanut butter. If you're going to be so sensitive, I'll talk to Alice. Hey, Alice, what's this business with him about a movie career?
Oh, it's the same thing, Elliot. Phil just isn't going to be happy until he gets the parties after in the high and the mighty. In fact, he's wondering why they haven't asked him already.
That's right, because they can't get nobody to do that part better than me. Especially now that I've been studying dramatic art at the Stanislavski School of Multidimensional Histrionics.
How long have you been studying there?
Ever since I learned to pronounce it.
Just what is this Stanislavski School of Acting?
Well, it's Hungarian method.
Hungarian?
Yeah, Alice. When you were in pictures, I don't think they had invented it yet. In fact, when you were in pictures, I don't think they had invented Hungarian yet.
It wasn't so awfully long ago that I was in movies.
Honey, all I know is when I went to see one of your pictures, I didn't need 3D glasses. All I had to do was put in a penny, look through a slot, and turn the handle.
That was pretty bad. And just for that, I'm going to let you work out your acting lessons by yourself.
That's okay, she'll get over that. Anyway, she's only been helping me by acting as my audience, and you can do that yourself, Elliot. You can be the audience. You see, this Stanislavski School of Drama is different. He goes in...
Anybody home? I've brung the groceries!
Hi, Julius. Put down the groceries. Don't make any noise. Curly was just telling me about a system of acting he's been studying. He's going to be a moving picture actor. Just think. Pretty soon, you'll be able to go into a movie and see Mr. Harris on the screen.
Do you think I'm entitled to all this joy in one lifetime? Don't forget, I just got over to German measles.
All right. Listen, Julius, you may not realize my vast picture possibilities, but Hollywood producers will. I'm going to give director William Wellman a chance to crowd all of my powerful and dynamic personality into one picture. What bigger thrill could anybody ask for?
I don't know about the other people, but I've always dreamed of dying and going to Knott's Berry Farm. I want to be a little angel with a halo of crushed boysenberries.
Good. Look, kid, why don't you take a long walk on a short pier? The secret of this Stanislavski dramatic school is that you convince yourself that you actually are the character that you're playing. You see, it's a matter of intense concentration.
I don't get it.
Look, Elliot, it's simple. Now, if you tell yourself over and over that you're somebody else, you finally convince yourself that you are that person or thing.
Thing?
Yes. You see, Stanislavski even went so far as to convince a whole audience that he was a piece of wallpaper. Of course, he was what they called in those days a dilettante.
Nowadays, we call them drunks.
Look, kid, will you keep out of this? Now, look, having an open mind, I can understand how Stanislavski did this. I bet I can do it myself. Look, sit down right there. Mm-hmm. Just sit down there. Mm-hmm. Now, look, when I've reached a place where I have convinced you, mm-hmm. tell me, huh?
All right, Curly, you go ahead.
I am wallpaper. I'm beautiful, colorful wallpaper. I am covered with pink magnolias against a light blue background. I make the whole room cheerful and bright because I am such beautiful wallpaper. Are you convinced?
Not yet.
Okay, listen. I am wallpaper. I can remember when the house was being built and I was still rolled up in a roll. I was laying on the floor while the walls were getting plastered.
How come you let the walls get a head start?
All right.
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honeysuckle rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows. Honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar. You just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. Have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose.
So you see, Your Honor, the whole thing started with my ambition to get a part in the picture, The High and the Mighty.
Yes, I see, Mr. Harrison. It's all very interesting. But the charge you are facing is that you inflicted bodily harm on your agent. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, yes, Judge, I'm coming to that. You see, at the time, I didn't even have an agent.
My client is right, Judge.
That's right. You see, I didn't figure with a big talent like mine that I needed an agent, Judge. I mean, does Bob Hope need an agent? Does Sid Caesar need an agent? Does
Milton Berle?
Watch your language. Now, Mr. Harris, will you just tell the court why you attacked your theatrical agent without apparent motive?
Judge, I keep trying to tell you that I did. I did have a motive. This agent I hired, he brought it all on himself. I picked his name out of the phone book. I chose him because his name was Honest Fred Fogarty.
Fogarty's Theatrical Agency. Just a minute. It's for you, Honest. It's your mother.
Oh. Well, hello, Mother. How's my little old gray-haired mother today? You what? Didn't like the last booking I got for you? What do you mean? Well, they did? They did? Well, I told you not to do that kind of a dance at the police show. Well, how many times do I have to inform you that when you do a balloon dance, you are required to blow up the balloon face? Well, we get any other phone calls, Miss Twitchell? Like from a new client, maybe?
A new client?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? You ain't had nobody to represent in show business since Sam Fenneman and his trained Shetland pony.
Yeah. It's a great act. It's too bad they ain't around no more.
Poor Sam. You didn't get him a booking for so long, he starved to death.
Well, we're still eating, ain't we? Care for another sandwich, Miss Twitchell?
Oh, thanks. What kind of sandwiches are these?
Combination. Lettuce, tomato, and Shetland pony.
Well, Mr. Fogarty, if we don't get a client pretty soon, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Miss Twitchell, an ordinary client will not turn the trick because I need a client who won't know whether I'm taking him for 10% of his loot or 50% of it. What I need, Miss Twitchell, is a beautiful pigeon.
Well, you can ring out the bells and sing out good cheer, 'cause the agent's dream, Phil Harris, is here.
He asked for a pigeon, and I get a singing mud hen.
Hey, my name is Phil Harris. This is my sidekick, Elliot Lewis, and I'm looking for an agent to handle me.
Well, you came to the right place, chum, because I don't mind saying with all due humility that I am probably the best agent in Hollywood because I made, for instance, Marlon Brando a star. I put Clark Gable right on top. I made Jackie Gleason a big name in television. And then there was Superman.
Superman? What'd you do for him?
Gentlemen, when Superman came with me, he couldn't fly from here to the corner.
Well, I'll tell you what I want, Mr. Fogarty. William Wellman is making a picture called The High and the Mighty. Now, there's a certain part in there
not
that I
so
feel...
Not so fast, because in order to make a saleable commodity out of you, it will be necessary to build you up with a little publicity, understand? Now, if you will do exactly as I say, I will have your name on a front page of every newspaper in the whole land.
Well, Mr. Harris, did your agent get your name in all the newspapers?
That he did, Your Honor, that he did. But he made me put on a pair of leopard skin trunks and swim to Catalina Island.
But, Mr. Harris, for publicity, many actors have tried to swim to Catalina.
From Flagstaff, Arizona?
Curly, tell him about the other things that agent done to you.
Oh, I haven't got time, Judge. It was just one thing after another, one thing after another. The guy was driving me nuts, taking all of my money and doing nothing for him. I went into Fogarty's office one day and I said, now listen to me, Fogarty.
You are just the guy I want to see, Harris. You have a tendency not to cooperate. Now, I think I can get you into a picture, but you got to do what I say, and this time it is very simple, because all I want you to do is dig yourself a hole under the Malibu Pier and live in it for 2 months. I want you to develop warts.
Warts?
Yeah, I'm going to get you in a picture called The Son of the Frog Man.
Mr. Fogarty, when I came here, I told you I only wanted you to get me into one picture, The High and the Mighty. Now, you...
Mr. Harris... Mr. Harris, this may come as a surprise to you, but Mr. Wellman, he don't just hire people off the street, you know. You gotta have an in.
Yeah, Curly, and so far he only got warts.
All right.
Another thing, Harris, about them clothes that you are wearing. Now, how can I present you to a director dressed like that?
That's right, Mr. Harris. It'll be $973 for the complete outfit. And may I say, Mr. Harris, in those clothes, you're wearing one of the most distinctive ensembles we've created for an actor in a long time. Good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, so long. You know something, Elliot?
What's that?
Ain't no two ways about it. If you wear custom-made clothes, it pays off. Look, everybody on the street's turning around and looking at me. Hey, look across the street there. See that sightseeing bus? They just stopped there looking at me, too. Yeah.
That suit sure attracts attention. What kind of material is that?
Tinfoil.
Yeah, but Curly, how about that price? $973.
Yeah, but I guess all the rest of them stars pay that much for their clothes. They
No. Curly, you got taken. I heard the salesman tell the manager that your agent gets half of the money for sending you there.
He gets half. Why, that cheap crook. I'm going to tell him off right now. Come on. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're still here, Fogarty.
Glad you dropped in, Harris. I think your troubles are over.
Look, let me ask you one question now. You mean that you talked to William Wellman about putting me in that picture?
Now, look, Harris, I told you that Wellman, he just don't hire guys off the street, you understand? But don't think that I've been goofing, because you know where the Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel is?
Oh, sure.
Well, it was a lot of trouble, but I get you an appointment there in a half hour.
With Wellman?
No, with his barber.
His barber?
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that Rory Calhoun, Rock Hudson, Jeff Chandler, how do you think they were discovered? William Wellman picked them out of the barber chair next to him.
Yeah? Hey, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, Elliot. If we hurry, we can get to the Ambassador Hotel in 15 minutes. Come on.
Hey, Curly, are you sure this is the way to the barbershop?
Sure. The bell captain said it was right between the orchid room and the rhinestone room. Hey, looks like it might be pretty expensive in there, but lucky. All I'm going to get's a haircut anyway. Come on, let's go in.
There.
Hey, this is really a plush joint. Hey, Elliot, sit down and read a magazine.
All right.
I see an empty chair over here. I'll just sit down
there. Oh, no, you don't. Get your clammy little hands off that.
But I just want to sit down.
No one sits in that chair. Don't you see the black velvet rope we've erected around it? And that bronze plate that says In Memoriam?
You mean?
Yes. That's where Jack Benny's hair passed away. Oh, what a dark day that was in the history of this barbershop. I was there at the end when the last pathetic little curl keeled over.
Mr. Benny's very last curl?
Yes, I was one of the pallbearers. We laid it to rest in a shinola can out in back of the barbershop. And four bootblacks sang, "Please don't talk about me when I'm gone."
All right. Mister, I had an appointment for a haircut here. My name is Harris.
Oh, yes. Mr. Fogarty vouched for you. Now, I'll just put this cloth around your neck. There. And, of course, you'll want a manicure.
Well, yes.
A manicure here in chair number 4.
Gee, 10 manicures.
Naturally, one for each finger.
All right. Now, will you get on with the haircut, please? Your Honor, it cost me a small fortune to get out of that barbershop, and Mr. Wellman never showed up. I'll tell you, Judge, this agent, Fogarty, really gave me the works. He cost me plenty. You know what he did one day when I wasn't home? He took a saw and sawed my brand new sports car right down the middle and sold it for 2 motorcycles. Then, Judge, you know what else he did? Then I caught him forging his name to my wife's unemployment checks.
Yeah, that's Curly's job.
Keep out of this, will you? That isn't all Fogarty did to me, Judge. He took a picture of me in my leopard skin trunks and sold them for Marilyn Monroe calendars. It was very embarrassing. I bought one of them myself. And, Judge, do you know how I finally got the job on the High and the Mighty? I got it. Do you know how I got it? I was walking down the street, and Mr. Wellman saw me and said, "That's the guy I want," and hired me.
Well, be that as it may, Mr. Harris, the fact remains that you punched your agent in the nose, and I will have to fine you $50. Oh, by the way, isn't your agent in court today?
Your Honor, he told me that in his opinion, your circuit court was pretty crummy.
Oh. The fine will be $25.
He also said they had better judges on jukebox jury.
He did, eh? The fine will be $10.
Ten? Oh, gee whiz, you're wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Judge. You know something, Judge? At that price, I think I'll go back and punch him in the nose again.
You know what, Mr. Harris? I think I'll get my powdered wig and go with you.
Good.
Phil will be back in just a moment. It's the last of the ninth. The bases are loaded. There are two outs. And here comes the all-important pitch. It's going, going, it's gone. It's a home run winning the game. Hearing or reading about a home run is pretty exciting, but it's not nearly as thrilling as actually seeing the home run happen. Yes, you miss a lot of fun when you don't get to the ballpark. But if you can't get to the game, the next best thing is to see it on RCA Victor television. The new Master 21 gives you a box seat view of every play. Brilliant razor-sharp pictures let you follow the ball with the hawk-eye attention of an umpire. The players' faces, their swift actions, everything is captured in clear, lifelike detail. Yes, the most wanted and highest-rated picture in 21-inch television can be yours for as little as $199.95. Imagine, $199.95 for such famous RCA Victor advances as the Magic Monitor, Rotomatic Tuning, and Golden Throat Fidelity Sound. And remember, for only RCA Victor television owners, a factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance is available in almost all TV areas.
You know something, Alice? I think it was awfully nice of RCA Victor to let me mention the picture High and the Mighty so often on our program tonight.
Yes, it certainly was, Phil.
It worked out pretty good, too, Alice, because, you know, the producers of the High and the Mighty, both John Wayne and Bob Fellows, have just bought the new RCA Master 21 television set. And look, folks, why don't you go out tomorrow and buy one of our RCA Victor products? I'm sure you'll love them. You'll not only be doing yourself a favor, but look, I got two little girls, and them play shoes are awfully expensive. Thanks. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed were Sandra Gould, Sheldon Leonard, Peter Leeds, Bill Johnstone, and Frank Nelson. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. The best in jazz comes your way on RCA Victor Records. That's Topsy, is played by the new jazz master, Shorty Rogers. Shorty's new RCA Victor album brings you 12 great arrangements, most of them originally written by the Dean of Jazz, Count Basie. Listen to RCA Victor's great jazz album, Shorty Rogers Courts the Count, at your dealers now. This has been an NBC Radio Network presentation.
Here's John Cameron Swayze and the news tonight on the NBC Radio Network.